So we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit. This is the third one. We're looking at peace. And I suppose, you know, why is this important? Well, it helps us to see what qualities we should be showing, having been shown just before what ones we shouldn't be showing. So in that passage in Galatians where it mentions the fruit of the Spirit, beforehand it mentions a lot of the things that we shouldn't be doing. But in addition to that, it's given us hope that these qualities don't depend on us and our goodness, because if they did, we would never show them. We would be stuffed before we start, would be a beaten docket. We cannot show these qualities based on our own righteousness. So that, in one sense, we're not looking at this passage in Galatians, we're looking at each individual quality. But that passage is important because it starts by saying what the works of the flesh are and then names a lot of them before it goes on to say, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and so on. And there's something about Paul's trying to sort of be clear about what all this is about. The Spirit of God is involved. It says in Romans, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, not forgetting daughters. And in verse 21 of Galatians, it says, those who live like this, who display these bad qualities aren't going to see the kingdom of God. And you read that and you think, oh dear, I'm sure a lot of these apply to me. But what Paul's saying is here is, if you live like this, it's like if you make one wrong turn or you let a burst of anger come out of your mouth, you don't lose your salvation. Paul's saying it's if you keep doing this, if you live like this. So he's painting a picture of what not to do and then what the Spirit produces. And I think it's key to think at the start about the fact we're mentioning fruit. You see, fruit can't be manufactured by humans. It can only grow organically. It's God who gives the growth. And in this case, it's a life-giving energy of the Spirit. So bear all that in mind as we begin to talk about peace. So what is peace? We often define it in terms of what it isn't. It's the absence of conflict or distraction or anything that makes us feel uncomfortable or disturbed. A nation's at peace when they're not involved in any wars. A person's at peace when you feel relaxed and comfortable. And according to Ephesians, Jesus is our peace. Jesus came to reconcile us both to God and each other. But the biblical idea of peace is so much broader than our modern understanding. It's not simply the absence of conflict, but it's the presence of harmony. It's not ceasefire, it's about community. It's a positive thing. And it's, you can think about it globally as within a country, a community, but also individually as to whether we feel peace. And I don't know if you remember that picture of Neville Chamberlain. Sorry, when I say remember, you'll have seen it in the book. Seen that picture in the book of Neville Chamberlain holding the piece of paper up. 1938, September 38, he comes back from Munich, holds a piece of paper up and says, my good friends, for the second time in our history, a British Prime Minister has returned from Germany, bringing peace with honour. You think Boris Johnson might want to use those words or something? I believe it is peace for our time. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Go home and get a nice quiet sleep. Those are the words he actually used. Within a year, we were at war with Germany. And it reminds me a bit of that verse in the Bible where the prophet saying, peace, peace. But there isn't any peace. And then we look at this passage from Isaiah. The key verse in that is, I think, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. It's important that we remember God has redeemed us through his Son. We are his. It's about not being anxious, because in the New Testament it says the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds. And we get that peace, and we in one sense we can't manufacture it. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from God, who calls us His. Now, we all have experiences in our lives, and bad things happen to good people. Think of Job. Think of our own experiences. The Bible never promises that we're going to escape the storms of life, but it does promise us peace and protection in the midst of those storms. Jesus promised his disciples peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Now, the word in the Greek word that's used in the original manuscript here is not, you know, when we talk about peace, quite often we think of shalom, the Hebrew word. But the Greek word here is called irene, in which in the fruit of the Spirit, this verse means more than living a life with no conflict or being quiet. It's used more for the calmness that a nation or a city feels when it's got a caring, competent, and secure leader. There's a rule of order in the place of chaos. And you immediately think, we have a Lord who brings order in the place of chaos. Now, last Sunday, Linda and I were in London visiting one of our sons and his wife and our granddaughter. And on the Sunday morning, we went to their church, which is St. Luke's in Kentish Town. It's an HTB plant. And the minister that on the Sunday morning was like casting a vision for the church, reminding the church of their vision. And their vision is, says St. Luke's vision is to be a community centered on Jesus, transforming North London one life at a time. And what he was saying is that the Sunday morning service, it's growing, it's good, but it's not enough. See, it's not about the Sunday morning crowd, but it's about the transformation of the congregation first, that they need Jesus. All of us are sinners. All of them are sinners. All of us are sinners. We're saved by grace, but we need Jesus. And we can't think about transforming the world if we don't have Jesus. We need to fix our eyes on him, the author and perfecter of our faith. And it's something, it made me sit up and sort of take notice when he was speaking, but also thinking about what I'm talking about with peace. We need Jesus. Paul says that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Something like that. It's quite often used as a blessing in church. And we can see that our peace comes from the one to whom we're connected, from Jesus. But I think, based on what we see in Galatians here, this peace that comes from God, is something actually unbelievers can't experience. It's something that the Holy Spirit gives, and therefore only believers can experience that supernatural peace. I was trying to think of an example of this, and as usual, when I use examples, it never looks good for me. When I was young, I was a lazy so-and-so, but I was a worrier. Not a warrior, a worrier. And at Queen's, I improved my snooker at Queen's rather than actually learning anything. And it came to finals, and one of the courses I was doing was mathematical economics. Now, I'm actually quite good at maths, but half the lectures I didn't listen to because the lecturer had a foreign accent and you couldn't understand them. If I'm being blunt, you couldn't understand them. So I thought, let's be economical here, Noel. Let's concentrate on the other half of the course where I can't understand the lecture, so I only revised for half the course for the exams. And you'd answer two questions from four in a three-hour exam. And I was Saturday morning, I can remember it as well, in the Ashby Institute in Queen's, sitting in the hall, ready to start the exam, and I look at the paper and think, oh dear. The half of the course that I'd concentrated on, I couldn't do the questions. So what do I try and do two questions that I know nothing about, or two questions that I never even listened to what the guy was saying about? In the three-hour exam, I sat for an hour and a half trying not to be sick. That sort of sums up my early life. Worrying about things. I should have worked a bit harder, but I was worrying. I was always consumed by nervousness and worry. And I can honestly say, since I became a Christian, things changed. I actually did start working. That was one of the things that changed. But also, I stopped worrying as much about things because there was something more than just me. I was sitting in that exam room, trying not to be sick, thinking, my future's just gone down the toilet. I had all these plans. I'm going to fail this exam. Goodness me, what am I going to do? Now, I have a different perspective because I've got Jesus. There's something different. And that's what I'm saying. I think unbelievers can't experience the peace of the Holy Spirit the same way we can. Peace doesn't come as a result from us changing our circumstances. It's something supernatural that we experience. But we have to be careful that, yes, we become Christians. Yes, we can apprehend that peace. But because of life's battles and trials and different things that happen to us, our focus can be thrown off. And we can start to get anxious again without even maybe noticing. But we can't allow life circumstances to take away our peace. We have to cling to the promises of God's word and learn to be content, whatever the circumstances. Now, in all of Paul's 13 letters, he says grace and peace to you. So the people he's writing to, he's saying grace and peace to you. Not once does he say peace and grace. And I think that's important. It's as if he's saying you can only begin to experience true peace after you experience God's grace through salvation. True peace comes when we meet the Prince of Peace. Do you know that verse that we read a lot in the lead up to Christmas? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Who's the Prince of Peace? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And suppose what I want to look a bit at this morning is when we're talking about peace, we can't ignore Jesus. We need Jesus. There's a way in which we can fall into the trap of thinking, I can grit my teeth, I can work at it, I can try and get this peace. But it's not about that. We need Jesus. I was saying a couple of weeks ago when I was speaking that I was at a business conference in Dublin, and there's a lot of good stuff, and it was about, you know, confronting failure and so on, and persevering, and Bear Grylls, who is a Christian, was one of the speakers, and he was saying about how he feels really nervous, and coming out to speak to people is not a natural thing, but he just gets up and gets on with it and does it. And there's a way in which there are times we just have to put one foot in front of the other. But it's not about gritting our teeth to get peace. We need Jesus. John 15, the famous passage about, I am the true vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. When we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, it's actually before we even look at it, we have to realize we can't bear the fruit of the Spirit unless we abide in Jesus. We need Jesus. It's not about us. And there's a verse that I keep coming back to. You know why you have favorite verses which mean something to you or they resonate with you? And thinking just what I was saying about exams and worry and what my future was going to be, Psalm 84, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. And when we were coming out of the prayer room, David was holding the door open, and I said, doorkeeper. And it's like, that to me is like the highest praise for a Christian. You're a doorkeeper. A doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Is that not brilliant? Is that not what we should be setting our sights on and being content with than running around and being influenced by the world and being constantly not at peace? It's great. It would be great to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Jesus, through the power of His Spirit, has the power to give us peace. And we're human. Sometimes think, oh, but would Jesus really do that or whatever? Well, do you remember the storm on the lake? Remember the disciples were with Jesus in the boat and Jesus was asleep and the disciples were worrying because the boat's filling up with water. And what does Jesus say? Jesus awakes, rebukes the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." This is the person, the God, who can command the winds and the waves. So can He not also give us peace? Jesus is central. We need Jesus. We need to get to know Him. We need to continue to get to know Him. And I'm mentioning David again. I'm not making fun of him, as I quite often do. David, do you remember a few years ago that you said at the front about we were forgetting Jesus? We weren't mentioning Jesus? We have to keep mentioning Jesus. I know there's the triune God, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but the reason most of us came to faith is because of Jesus. Yes, the Holy Spirit convicts us, but it was Jesus that attracted us. Jesus is the reason that we believe and follow God. We can't forget about Jesus. And I was reading an article this week about, we're talking about backsliding. And it was saying, when people backslide, the truth is, it's not that they necessarily turn away from the faith and talk about Jesus. It's almost like they forget about Him. They'll talk about lots of other things. We didn't like the church. That person spoke to me. I just gradually get disillusioned. I'm not sure about the Bible's teaching. I'm on a spiritual journey. Jim was talking earlier about the Super Bowl. For anybody who's, I was going to say man enough, who's person enough to stay up late and watch the Super Bowl, my house will be free. There'll be some food. Just let me know if you want to come. It won't be the really good Davy sausages. It's going to be mass-produced Frankfurters, Davy. You wouldn't even have them in your shop. But we're trying to be American. So the Super Bowl, my team's the Green Bay Packers, who unfortunately were narrowly beaten by the 49ers here in the Super Bowl. But the star quarterback for the Packers is a guy called Aaron Rodgers, who was talking this week about sort of losing faith and he doesn't like all the rules and regulations and, you know, he's just got a personal spirituality. And just reading all that and having read this article, people don't talk about Jesus. People don't say, actually, I don't like Him anymore or whatever. It's like they try and make excuses. But when we focus on Jesus, how can we turn our back on Him? The road to backsliding is paved with indifference to Jesus and with His glory. And therefore, one of the things that we should be concentrating on, it's not about concentrating on getting peace, it's concentrating on the glory of our Lord Jesus. There was a Puritan writer writing about 300 years ago called John Owen, who said, no man or woman shall ever behold the glory of Christ by sight in heaven who does not, in some measure, behold it by faith in this world. On Christ's glory I would fix all my thoughts and desires, and the more I say of the glory of Christ, the more the painted beauties of this world will wither in my eyes, and I will be more and more crucified to this world. Are we concerned enough about the glory of Jesus? So it's not about manufacturing peace. It's about focusing on Jesus and following Him. And I was thinking, you know, what's the opposite of peace? Is it being angry? And you know the way you come across some Christians? It's like they're angry all the time. It's like the smile that they should be having never reaches their mouths. just of a glum face. If we're following Jesus, that can't be what we're showing. Because it talks in Philippians about that we're to be anxious for nothing, for God promises to guard our hearts and minds. It's a peace which transcends all understanding. Its source is the Holy Spirit. We don't get it by striving. We get it by focusing on Jesus. So, what am I saying about peace? We can have peace when we put the glory of God first. We can have peace when we have Jesus in our hearts, when His Spirit dwells in us. It's not easy. Circumstances, illness, our family troubles can all conspire against us. But when we focus on Jesus, when we pray and ask God to give peace in our hearts, it will come. It's available. But as it says in Psalm 34, turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. We pursue it by pursuing Jesus. So what should our response be? It's not about us going our own way. It's not about us getting distracted from following Jesus. It's not about being selfish or angry. It's not about even focusing on practicing the qualities of the fruit of the Spirit. We don't sit in a darkened room and go, trying to be peaceful here. Because if somebody disturbs your peace, you'll get angry at them. It's not about us and our human ability. It's about deepening our relationship with Jesus and noticing and allowing Him to change us. So one of the things we can do, let's focus on it in our prayer time this week. Let's really say to God, Lord, what am I doing that's keeping me from You, keeping me from knowing You more deeply? Focus on Jesus. And I just want to finish with a verse which in a sense you think maybe doesn't have a great deal to do with peace, but it's a verse that I know has brought comfort to many people. It comes from Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You're with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit are with us. We, as people who know Jesus, can have that peace. So fear no evil, for God is with you. And if you haven't got to know Jesus yet, please think about it. Please think seriously about it. Because I know I can truly say I have peace that I wouldn't otherwise have because of Jesus and me encountering Him many years ago. But I just want to close by saying, peace be with you.